The story of Sidney Wilmot Winslow. Winslow, sometimes called the Czar of Footwear, was born in Salem, Massachusetts in 1854. He spent most of his spare time in his father's primitive little shoe factory, saying little but watching every move that was made. Machinery was just beginning to replace the slow hand method in shoemaking, and the possibilities of the new medium fascinated the boy. It was only natural that after his graduation in the early 70s that he should enter his father's factory. He was promoted from job to job until at last he was made foreman in the stitching room. It is here, before a McKay stitching machine, we find him standing with his father.
Look at the way that machine is working, Dad.
Huh? What's wrong with the way it's working? It's attaching soles to uppers, isn't it? Doing it faster than hand labor could.
Oh, the machine's all right, as far as it goes, Dad. But it's a pioneer in its field. And someday, machinery is going to have everything its own way. That's the star I want to hitch my wagon to.
What on earth are you talking about, Sid? What star has it got to do with shoes?
Plenty. But the main trouble now is that each manufacturer has to deal with several different companies to get the machinery he wants.
That's true enough. And plenty of trouble it is. Can't figure for certain when you'll get deliveries. And it works out that the operators of one machine or another are always striking. You know what strikes have done to us. We have to shut down for a part of every year.
I know, Dad. I've been studying the whole thing, and I've got an idea that I think will prove workable.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, I'm going to consolidate as many different machines as I possibly can.
Well, is it practical, Sid?
Absolutely.
But how do you know you can form a consolidation? It's never been done before in the shoe business.
I know, Dad, but Sidney Winslow is the man who's going to do it.
And in 1892, Sidney Winslow did do it, associating himself with men who had the capital and business experience. The company was formed under the name Consolidated and McKay Lasting Machine Company, with Winslow taking the larger share of the direction of business activities and progress. One by one, the smaller shoe companies went out of business until, by 1899, the making of shoe machinery centered in the hands of three large companies, Consolidated and McKay, the Goodyear Shoe Company, and the McKay Shoe Company. Winslow looked the field over, found it to his liking, and called a special meeting of the directors of all three companies.
Gentlemen, I suppose you're curious as to just why I called this meeting.
I am for one, Winslow. While we're all in the same business, each of our companies is adapted to a particular class of operation. We're not competitors in any sense of the word.
That is true, Mr. Link. And because of that fact, I think we can go even farther in our line if we unite.
But, Mr. Winslow, we're all doing an excellent business now. Why should we risk that by changing our status? Why should we unite?
Because we could do better if we could consolidate under one head. We could supply the shoe machine needs of the entire United States and more.
More?
Yes. What about Canada, England, France, Germany? The territory is wide open. We think we're in the shoe machine business now. Why, gentlemen, we've only just begun.
But how can we accomplish what you suggest, Winslow?
My associate, George Brown, and I have been building up a surplus for some time because we knew that one day we'd have the opportunity to establish a trust. Now, for the good of the shoe machine industry, I feel that such a day has come. I have the money. All I need now is your cooperation. Well, gentlemen, what do you say?
I'm for it, Winslow.
Thank you, Mr. Link.
Yes, and I think this will be the biggest thing yet.
It will, Mr. Bunner. Once we start, nothing can stop us.
Thus, the United Shoe Machine Company and its chain of subsidiaries was established, prompted by the vision of one man, Sidney Winslow. A model manufacturing plant at Beverly, Massachusetts was built, producing more than 300 different machines. Not only was Winslow president of the United Shoe Company, but head of the United Smelting, Refining, and Mining Company, and identified with the United Fruit Company. Yet, he was never too busy nor too big to talk with the shoe manufacturers whenever something troubled them. We find him in his office with one of the smaller manufacturers.
Well, Mr. Winslow, I've been a shoemaker all my life, and I want to stay in business. That's all I know. But I can't compete with the big fellas where they're getting in all your machinery. And I can't afford it.
Well, I don't know why you can't, Mr. Beck.
Well, I haven't got the money to invest in your machinery, no matter how good it is, that's why.
But you don't have to buy our machinery.
Hmm? Well, I thought I did. Do you give it away? How can you operate if you don't sell your product?
It's very simple. We've perfected the leasing system, originated by McKay. We sell most of our machines outright to the larger manufacturers, but to men like yourself, Mr. Beck, we lease a full line of machines performing every operation involved in the manufacture of shoes. And in return for this, you pay us 1 1/3 cents a pair for every pair of shoes you put out.
Well, that seems too good to be true.
Well, it's both good and true, my friend. Good for you and good for me. We not only lease you the machines, but keep them in order for you. And the moment any new invention or device is perfected by our staff, you immediately get the new machine.
Well, of all things.
You see, it's to the company's advantage as well as yours to keep the very finest machines in the hands of our clients in good working order and capable of turning out the largest number of perfect shoes.
Well, then I can do all this without any capital?
Exactly. And the public benefits by being able to buy more durable and more attractive shoes at the lowest possible price.
Well, you've done a great thing, Mr. Winslow. Let me tell you, the shoe industry will always be in your debt.
Sidney Winslow had not only benefited the shoe industry, but his employees. The welfare work carried on in the model factory at Beverly, Massachusetts, was the model used by most great modern manufacturers. And while he built up the happiness and well-being of all who worked for him, he built up his own fortune, sitting on the boards of half the great banks and trust companies of Boston. In fact, Winslow climbed so high that it was only natural that someone should try to climb even higher. That man was Henry H. Rogers, who, with the millions of Standard Oil behind him, sought to invade Winslow's shoe industry. Winslow fought him to the last ditch and now awaits Rogers' decision of the fight. Georgiana, his wife, is with him.
Don't pace back and forth like that, Sidney. I've never seen you so nervous before.
But you don't understand, Georgiana. My whole life's work is at stake. If Rogers is successful in getting what he wants, well, I don't know what will happen. There isn't room enough for two big shoe machine industries in the United States.
But how can Mr. Rogers harm anyone as experienced in the business as you, dear?
Well, he didn't know gas either, yet he was successful in ousting Eddyx from the gas field. Then he reorganized, amalgamated, and built up Standard Oil.
What have you done to stop him from invading your business?
My one chance is that Rogers can't get complete shoe equipment lined up. That's my only chance. And I've gone down the line to block him. I'll know just how successful I've been when he comes here tonight.
Don't you worry. No one who's worked as hard as you for what you have can have it all taken away now, dear.
Oh, it isn't only the financial angle, Georgiana. I have plenty of money, and nothing Rogers can do could lessen my present fortune. But it's the human angle. You know, somehow I feel a responsibility for the well-being of hundreds of people. Can you understand what I mean?
Perfectly, dear.
I've always visualized an army of human beings marching behind my machines. Oh, I know it sounds crazy. But what I'm trying to say is that my business is more than a business. It's a dream come true. And I won't let any man take that dream away from me, Rogers or anyone else.
That's more like you, Sidney. You've always made your way through trouble before. Gave your enemies enough time to start quarreling with one another and defeat themselves. You've tried it with Rogers and...
Yes, but whether I've been successful or not is to be seen...
Oh, I beg pardon, Mr. Winslow. Mr. Rogers is here to see you.
Oh, well, show him in, Briggs, show him in.
Very good, sir.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed, Sidney.
Well, Winslow, you seem to be in a particularly good mood for such an important meeting.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Rogers. The credit for my good humor should go to my wife, Mrs. Winslow. Oh, dear, this is Mr. Rogers.
Well, how do you do, Mrs. Winslow?
How do you do?
I suppose your husband's told you that I'm his chief competitor.
Sidney told me that you were attempting to become a competitor, Mr. Rogers.
Hmm. Well, you see, I have a peculiar failing, or virtue, depending on the point of view, Mrs. Winslow. I've never been known to admit defeat. I've never been defeated.
All records are made only to be broken, Rogers.
Yes, excepting in your case, Winslow.
What do you mean?
You know, I've been attempting to line up a complete shoe machinery equipment. But, and you'll be glad to hear this, I've failed.
What?
Why, yes. During all your years in the shoe machine industry, you've built up so much goodwill and loyalty among everyone you've ever had dealings with that I wasn't able to get one of them to have anything to do with me. Sidney Winslow, you've licked Henry Rogers by your confounded fair play and generosity. But I'll have to admit I wouldn't want to be beaten by a better man. Will you shake hands?
Will I?
Now I'll be off. Hope to see you again, Winslow. Good night, Mrs. Winslow.
Good night.
Good night. Well, Georgiana, did you hear that? He admitted defeat. I beat him.
You did, dear. That army of people you visualized marching behind your machines won your battle for you. Money can't buy goodwill and loyalty.
No. I'm glad it all happened. I wouldn't have missed the knowledge of having the loyalty of the people I work with. Well, for all the money in Christendom.
A manufacturer by trade, a practical dreamer by nature, possessing patience and intelligence and a love for his fellow man. We thus pay homage to one who was the czar of the shoe industry, but who, in building his enormous fortune, never lost in it his head nor his love for his fellow man. Sidney Wilmot Winslow, Captain of Industry.